This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Whatever else we've learned amid this pandemic is that the world was and remains woefully unprepared. But not everyone in the world. For one cohort, COVID-19 has presented the very crisis and inevitable chaos they've long waited for, sometimes called the big one. They are preppers, also known as survivalists, who stockpile food, guns, and emergency equipment in expectation of the eventual collapse of society. Our producer, Micah Loewinger, immersed himself in the prepper media sphere. Hey, Micah.
Hi, Bob.
So you've been reading prepper blogs, reading prepper fiction, listening to prepper podcasts, and watching prepper YouTubers. Anything that's jumped out at you?
Well, the first thing that struck me was a kind of subdued glee. Here's a guy who calls himself John Jacob Schmidt, founder of Amron, a secretive prepper ham radio network.
The preppers were being made fun of before. Now the people that are easier to make fun of are the people that are panicking.
I also listened to Forrest Garvin, the founder of PrepperNet, a platform that organizes local prepper meetups all around the country.
We knew this day was coming. Some of us have lived for this day.
And this is Jack Spierko, host of the Survival Podcast, which claims to reach 250,000 daily listeners.
You are an irresponsible ass clown if you don't have at least 20 to 30 days of staying power.
One prepper influencer emailed me and said, "We're not the ones rushing to the supermarket, all panicked, hoarding all the toilet paper. We were the people who were stocked up months ago, years ago, and we're sharing with our friends and family." The AP and the New York Times have run stories quoting preppers saying things like, "Our time has come. We're ready. People are asking for our help now."
Ah, so there's your barely suppressed glee. Kind of, who's the crackpot now? These canned goods are so delicious. But apart from the schadenfreude, I can't imagine that anyone in this crisis could really be gleeful. It isn't that, is it?
Every time I encountered that line, you know, "our time has come" on a prepper podcast, it was also coupled with real concern, confusion, conflicting information.
We can't do our jobs effectively if we start from a point that is divorced from reality. Calm the F down.
I'm telling you, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're not supposed to be afraid. You need to have the knowledge to be able to protect your family in all circumstances.
I'm wondering about irony, because if this culture follows Fox News and the like, until a couple of days ago, they've been told that the pandemic is mostly political hype stirred by the media in conspiracy with the deep state and the left. Do they even believe in the catastrophe that they've been preparing for?
You know, they're assessing the risk, but who exactly they should listen to, who they should trust, has been a source of tension.
Some days you look at the news, it's taken over the world. We're all going to die.
A tension between a fundamental distrust of the government and the hyper-partisan urge to defend President Trump, take him at his word, even as he downplayed messaging from the World Health Organization.
You watched Trump yesterday, he just kind of made a 180-degree turn and said, "Well, it's not that bad. Don't worry about it. We got it handled."
I heard this story about how the media and the deep state are intentionally sabotaging the stock market to hurt Trump's reelection chances.
The left is literally, it's disgusting, but the left is literally salivating over the opportunity they have.
Or that coronavirus had been concocted, in an American lab by liberal elites to combat overpopulation. And so the more time I spent in this prepper media sphere, the less I bought into the narrative that this group of people are uniquely prepared for the pandemic. In fact, I spoke with one expert who told me that coronavirus has rattled the prepper world to its very core.
I'm an ethnographer. I spent about 12 years in the field with right-wing paramilitary organizations, survivalists, etc. I was a member. I was a participant observer. I belonged.
Richard Mitchell Jr. is professor emeritus of sociology at Oregon State University and author of Dancing at Armageddon, Survivalism and Chaos in Modern Times. He thinks that preppers were never really prepared for this moment, and that the whole idea of survivalism has been turned on its head by coronavirus. Bear with me while I spool out his argument. It's really psychoanalytical, but I think it helps explain some of the things we were just talking about. I'll start with what's probably the most famous depiction of this subculture, the National Geographic TV series called Doomsday Preppers.
We're going to be the people that other people are going to come to when the it's a fan.
Let's learn from the Doomsday Preppers, season premiere Tuesday at 9.
Excuse me. We had very long discussions with the producers on that series. You know, we talked about the phenomena of survivalism, and then they went out and created that utter fabrication. It was made to match what the expectations were about what people were going to find.
The show mocked more than anything else. It was a punching bag, depicting people acting out their fantasies in the least charitable way possible.
What's that?
Nuthatch.
Today, Michael is teaching Emily about the importance of the robin's distress call, which he believes could give the family a full 5 minutes to prepare for any approaching danger.
All right, this one's not out, but tell me what it is, because it's really important. Ready?
Robin's alarm?
Yeah, know that one. That means somebody's coming with a lot of angry energy, okay?
The New York Times called the series, quote, anti-life and, quote, full of contempt for humankind. Mitchell felt that Nat Geo didn't make an earnest attempt to understand why people spend so much of their time and resources prepping. And this is before coronavirus, of course.
First of all, it's not a response to fear. People are not running away from. They're not escaping. They're, in fact, looking for something that is missing in their life. Modern culture comes to us all packaged and ready-made. We've got Big Macs and election year politicians and stock trades, and we are given an opportunity to really only consume culture. And for most people, that's a comfortable notion. But it leaves us aimless and rootless and formless and, some people would say, useless. Survivalists resist this. They want a place between a rock and a hard spot, a place of resistance, a kind of a firm, gritty antithesis against which they can test their talents and gauge their gumption. Imagining a kind of a hands-on grappling with hypothetical troubles ahead gives them a sense of purpose.
He says what survivalists prepare for, you know, the end of society scenario that they imagine, is deeply personal.
People tell stories that match the resources that they have. So if you have chainsaws and pickup truck and an assault rifle, why then there's some sort of foreign invaders, or some sort of hostile entity where we're going to need to be independent on our farm and chop wood and repel the enemy.
I should add, there's definitely a spectrum here. I spoke with a 51-year-old prepper living in Pennsylvania who told me that the disaster he imagines is losing power for a few months and not being able to get to the supermarket or the pharmacy. Compare that with a much more extravagant story of a chemical engineer, Mitchell calls him Major Suds in his book, who fantasized about a terrorist organization poisoning his city's water supply. He had stockpiled the chemicals necessary to clean up the poison and save the city.
Because he was an engineer and he knew all this stuff, he invented a scenario to go with his talent. I mean, I could tell you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, but they all match what people have as their resources.
But how is that calculus shifting in the face of coronavirus?
Because you can't make up a story anymore. It doesn't work. We only have one thing that's going on. We can't talk about invaders or floods or EMP now. We've got coronavirus. And it's not hypothetical, it's actually happening.
So how does that change how people are preparing?
People didn't prepare understand that? No survivalist ever did survivalism. They lived in the life of fantasy. Nobody ever came to the end of the world or fought off the invaders or started a farm or did any of those things, did they? Any of those things that you saw on the National Geographic Channel, was any of that real? No, it was all what we're going to do in the future. But the future never came.
But the future's come now, so what...
Exactly my point. All of those stories that they told don't work anymore. Now we have one tale, and we have one empirical phenomena, and everybody has to recalibrate their tales. They're retelling the news conspiracy tales to kind of regain control of the narrative. And that's hard to do.
So we're starting over. Preparation starts now.
No, there isn't any time for preparation. One of the things about survivalism is always comfortably in the future, but not so far in the future that there isn't some urgency. Well, we're facing coronavirus. We're facing a phenomenon that is right now.
Mitchell's saying that now that we're actually in the soup, the preppers aren't really prepared?
A lot of people are ironing out the kinks in their preps, and that might mean picking up a lot of gear that you didn't have before. If you spend any time in the prepper media sphere, it's hard not to notice just how many opportunists are out there beating their drum right now. This is a cash grab moment.
To play, not necessarily to the prepper crowd, but to sudden onset survivalists to exploit the paranoia to sell them a whole bunch of stuff that they don't really need.
It's hard to say who exactly is scrambling right now, but some people on the other end are making big bucks.
Guns and ammo, gold, silver, homeopathic supplements.
Oh yeah, all of the above. I've been looking at some of the online prepper stores, and just all kinds of products are sold out. Like a 100-person survival kit sold out. Anti-break-in reinforcements for, you know, your front door, sold out. Solar ovens that when the power goes out, you can convert the heat from the sun to cook, sold out. I spoke to the owner of doomsdayprep.com, one of the many online stores that carries hazmat suits and other hardcore prepper products. He told me that business has never been so good.
If you were a person who, you know, was getting up there in age and you find yourself in a high-risk population or you have other comorbidities, then something like this in this would definitely be a life-saving option. Now,
this YouTuber, he goes by the name Canadian Prepper, pitched his 360,000 subscribers on military-grade gas masks, which, conveniently, he sells in his own online store. Even the more mainstream influencers have gotten into the prepper game. Khloe Kardashian has used her Instagram empire to advertise Judy, a sleek, urban, millennial-focused brand.
So I wanted to share something with you. This is a Judy box. This is basically an emergency kit with everything and anything you could want in case of an emergency.
I just checked the Judy website and their cheaper products are already sold out.
Like, for example?
Like a prepper fanny pack.
And if you're listening to somebody that's telling you, here's all the things that you need to buy, and by the way, pay me for that information or buy it from me, you probably should stop listening to that source.
That's prepper Jack Spearco again. Rather than cashing in, he seems to be playing the long game. There was one fascinating episode of his show, The Survival Podcast, in which he argues that rushing the market was the mistake that prepper companies made in the lead up to Y2K. Companies that advertised like it was the end of the world didn't last that long after the 2000s when, you know, the world didn't end.
And by 2008... 95% or more of them were gone. They didn't exist. And I said really, really quick to myself, hey, self, you can't build a business on preparedness with this model. Because when the crisis du jour goes away, right, then you are going to go away too if you build on hype and crisis only.
So basically, panic sells, but if you push panic too hard, the market will eventually punish you.
Exactly. His podcast slogan is the things we can all do to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't. He doesn't think coronavirus is actually the big one, and the other prepper podcasters that I've been listening to seem to agree. If the people who claim to know the most about the end times don't think it's coming quite yet, I think I find solace in that.
At a time like this, I guess I do too. Micah, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.